Good day to you. God bless you. Say, welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study. We are back in our Father's Word. Acts chapter 7. You know, this is one of the most beautiful chapters in the Word of God, because Stephen, one that was selected as a disciple and helper of the apostles, was giving a summary of the Word of God, the very family of God, and how things transpired. He had come down to the fact that where Moses came into the picture. And Moses, naturally, having been born during the captivity, that Pharaoh's daughter had captured him in that little basket we were talking about yesterday, and raised him. When he was 40 years old, he tried to help the people. And he slew an Egyptian that was mistreating one of the Israelites. And the next day, they kind of let the cat out of the bag, and he departed quickly. Now, I want to say again, he went across the desert and ended up in the land of the Kenites. And just because a land is controlled by a certain people, it doesn't change the nationality of the people living therein. In other words, you can be an American, and if you go to China, it doesn't make you a Chinese. So anyway, who were these girls Moses came in contact with? Well, it was the daughters of a Midian priest. His name is Jethro, and Jethro being his title. And who is that? How do you know? Certainly not a Kenite, because they are of the children of Abraham by his second wife, Keturah, and it's well recorded in the 25th chapter of the great book of Genesis. So, therefore, Zipporah, one of the daughters that he wed, which he would have two sons by, was of the seed of Abraham. Don't ever let anyone, though she was called, or rather that Jethro was called a Kenite, he only lived in that land. Just like I live in Arkansas, I'm an Arkansan. But by genealogy, I'm an Irishman. So be that as it may. So having said that, Moses then has wandered to that way, and God is appearing to him about the time he's 80 years old. Moses' life is basically divided into three parts of 40, for he would die at 120. Or the father would take him at 120. So, having said that, you're caught up there. A great summary of God's Word. Chapter 7, verse 31. With that word of wisdom from our Father, let's go with it. And it reads, when Moses saw it, this bush that's on fire, it's burning, but it's not being devoured. He wondered at the sight, and as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And then Moses trembled and durst not behold. God is in a different dimension than we are, and naturally the old saying is, you're a dead man if you see God. Why? Because you are in a different dimension. So he looked away quickly. 33. Then said the Lord to him, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. Naturally, why was it holy? The Holy Spirit was there. The angel of God was there, which is to say, that part, the angel that God sends, which is himself, in that sense. 34. I have seen, that's two times for emphasis, so don't overread it. I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee unto Egypt. Now, I don't want you to read over that either. What did God say? Did he say, Moses, you're going to free the people from Egypt? Now, that isn't what he said at all. He said, I hear my children. I have come down. God's going to do it. I have come down to free my children. So you see, man, God gives you a pop test every once in a while, and people say, well, Moses certainly did it. No, Moses didn't. All those miracles that transpired were done by Almighty God, our Father. And you either have Him with you. And when our people cry, when they are put under pressure, even in this great nation, and when they cry out to our Heavenly Father, do not think for a moment that He does not hear the children. I mean, they are His. He created them. They're His own. And He cares. He cares what happens to His children. Therefore, those that would try to bring heavy burdens upon God's children had better beware. For God pays attention. And God comes down for a few things. And when He comes down, He comes down hard on His enemies and with love to His children. How precious it is. So don't ever underestimate Almighty God, and don't overestimate man. Man that has the Holy Spirit in presence can do a great deal with the help of our Father. Verse 35. This Moses, whom they refused, I mean, after they run him off, whom made thee a, what did they say to, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? Question. After he had tried to help them, the same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. Be delivered by what? The angel of the Lord. The Holy Spirit, the God's presence. 36, he brought them out. Stephen continues with this great summary. He brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. That's probation again. But this group of people, God had opened the Red Sea for them. They had marched over on dry ground. He had performed many miracles, killing the firstborn of all those that were not marked with the blood of the Lamb, and which is symbolic of that that is to come. Today, you better be under the blood of the Lamb, and that Lamb is none other than Jesus Christ Himself. But they had seen all these things. I have great difficulty with how they could go wrong so quickly, after having experienced the very presence of God. 37. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. He's going to be in flesh and blood. Him shall ye hear. And so it was. And of course he's quoting Deuteronomy 18:15. They couldn't stand the presence of God. Frightened them. And he said, I'm going to raise a prophet up right amongst you. And of course, that was the birth, as written in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, that a virgin will conceive and a child will be born. You will call him Emmanuel, which is to say God with you, with us. And so it was. God had that plan of salvation in place. And ready to act upon it. Verse 38. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. The Ten Commandments. In stone, the finger of God actually writing them on those tablets. 39. To whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt. This is where I have great trouble with them. After having experienced all those things, the parting of the Red Sea, the leading of the people, putting Pharaoh in line, destroying the firstborn of Egypt and the cattle and people who had not the blood of the Lamb. as the angel passed over. And there, from this Passover, we have Passover today. And Christ became our Passover. He is the Passover Lamb that protects us, keeps us, leads us, guides and directs us, that makes life bearable even in troubled times. How precious it is that we have this one. That's what he meant in Deuteronomy 18:15. It was a promise of God. And now we go to the next verse, please. Verse 40. Saying unto Aaron, this is what those disobedient children did. They said to Aaron, he was a priest among them, a Levitical priest, make us gods, lowercase idols, make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. Gone 4 days and they give up already. After seeing all those beautiful miracles, could you do that? This is why I have trouble with it. I really do not. I mean, they were ready to give up that way. They wanted to go back into captivity again. Verse 41. And they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice unto the idol and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. How despicable. But you know something? Even today, if you're not careful, anything that you place before God in your life, it could be a business, an automobile, an organization, a person, it can become, if it interferes with your approaching God, it can, and you loving, it can become an idol. And you have to be very careful of that, putting that before God's word. It's, as these did, it's dangerous, very dangerous. 42. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven. And as it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? And so it is that we continue with that and how it is written, and so it is written, that he would perform this. It's a shame, a real shame, that people can so soon forget. They took all the gold that God had put in their hand from the Egyptians and left with it, and poured it into molded, and the head priest Aaron. I mean, head of the Levitical priesthood, molded this golden calf. And rather than worshiping God that had opened the Red Sea, they'd worship it. You know, and then maybe you can understand the confusion of faith today. And people, they don't even know who they are. They don't know where the house of Israel is. It's not the house of Judah. And many, many people that are supposed to be Bible scholars overlook that fact. What a shame. And when you think about God's word and what he has said to the people, he gives them up. Next verse, verse 43. Yea, you took up the tabernacle of Moloch, and the star of your God Raphim, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. And of course, that particular star is Kayan in the Hebrew tongue. As you go there, it's Saturn. Okay. Even today, when you look into the heavens, for quite some time now, Saturn, that one little old thing, has been in the sign of the Virgin, Virgo, for quite some time, and it will be until 2012. I think it comes out in December of 2012. What a thing to watch. Naturally, Virgo is the virgin, the mother of the child, whereby the sign in which is the branch, which is symbolic in the Star Bible of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, you want to worship myth and things. Now there's Saturn they're worshiping. Who made Saturn? God did, of course. You're worshiping something that God created. Doesn't that seem a little silly? That you would worship something God created rather than God himself, the creator of all things, including your soul. You want to think about that. Verse 44. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen. You make it just exactly as I told you, Moses, as he had directed him. 45. Which also our fathers that came after, that's to say after Moses, brought in with Jesus. This is where Jesus is Joshua. Okay, Yahshua in the Hebrew tongue. Is Jesus and Joshua is basically the same word. But here we're talking about not Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, but Joshua, who followed Moses into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of all of our fathers unto the days of David. In other words, in possession, it came down and down until David. David wanted to build a temple to replace when he conquered Jebus, which was formed by the Jebusites, which is the geographical location of Jerusalem. And when David would capture Jerusalem, he renamed it Jerusalem Yerushalayim, which is to say that place, piece of peaceful habitation. And God takes care of business. David will never build that temple. Solomon, his son, will. And for a reason that's hard to understand, but that's the way it is. 46. Who found favor, speaking of David, oh, God loved him, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. He wanted to build that temple. 47. But Solomon built him an house. You want to remember, God has heaven and he has the earth. He has everything. He doesn't need a house. I mean, that's the way it is. This is why Christ would say, you tear down this temple, which was the temple on the location of Solomon's, but Herod had built it. You tear down this temple and I'll rebuild it in 3 days. He's talking about the temple, which is the many-membered body of Jesus Christ, the Christian community. That's the true house. That's the true church that God so loves. Solomon built that house. God allowed him to. 48. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as said the prophet. Just doesn't do it. And heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? You know, there's more to it than that. He's quoting Isaiah chapter 66, and I feel led to go there. You're not going to have it. I'm going to read it to you. Isaiah 66. Because there's more to it than just that he doesn't want a house. Isaiah 66, verse 1. Listen to it carefully. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? How can you beat that? Heaven is his throne. Doesn't need a house. For all those things have mine hand made. I created it. And all those things have been, said the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. I'm that is anxious to learn the word, to learn truth. If you're going to go otherwise, guess what? He that killeth an ox is as he that slew a man, and he that sacrificeth a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense as he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. That's false teaching, misleading people. I also will choose their delusion and will bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. They wouldn't talk to me. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. And that's what our Father says. Hey, you're going to build me a house? You're going to play church? Heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. I created it all. And if you start practicing false religion, which many of them did, false doctrine, you might as well try to sacrifice swine's blood to me. He hates it. And so it is. You want to do it God's way. This is why he was so upset when, after having lovingly delivered them, parted the Red Sea, coddled them and led them, provided for them, and then have them turn on him. While he was in the process of writing the Ten Commandments to keep them out of trouble, brings it back, and boy, are they in trouble. They're practicing Baal worship right before God and everybody. And can you understand why God would say, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool? You want to build me a house? You want to be careful? What was one of God's complaints there in Isaiah 66? They won't listen to him. He sent you this letter so that you could hear his word. He sent you this letter so that you could hear God by studying, rightly dividing, and showing yourself approved in the scriptures that Almighty God sent. I don't know, have you ever read it? Well, God never blesses me. Boy, I can understand why. You go out in some false religion, you might as well throw swine's blood on the altar. When you give an offering, he'll snuff at it and turn you away. You got to do it his way. You have to hear him. He loves you. But he wants you to love him in return rather than listening to man. You know, he always, as you noticed in that Isaiah 66, he will add to the derision if you want to go that trip. He'll help you confuse yourself when he sent you a letter that a child can understand in the simplicity that he teaches when you take your time and understand the Word of God. Now, that's what he said there in Isaiah 66. And that kind of is the sum of the matter. You need to, anytime you have a little doubt, you need to read that chapter. Now, returning to Acts chapter 7, we'll pick it up, I believe it's verse 50. Let's go with it. Verse 50. Hath not my hands made all these things? I put all this together. Those bricks you're about to put in there to form the wall, I made the soil that created that. And then Stephen begins to talk rather direct to these people who crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. Ye 51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do ye. In other words, he's speaking of his fathers. If you read Matthew chapter 23, Jesus said the Pharisees, the scribes and Pharisees sit in the seat of Moses. They're interpreting the law, but misleading everyone. And he spoke to the offspring of the serpent, which is to say Cain, which is to say Kenites. He said, you are guilty of murder in this world all the way from righteous Abel the first murder, right down to slaying Zacharias between the porch and the altar. You're guilty. And this is what Stephen's calling out here. It's going to sting him. 52. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, even Messiah. You hung him on that cross. You nailed him to it. You murdered him. This is so very strong. I mean, he's laying it to those Kenites. Again, this is why I emphasize Matthew chapter 23, where it speaks very clearly. The offspring, it'll say, children, the offspring of the serpent. So that you know, we're talking about that old serpent, the devil, Lucifer, little horn, morning star, the false one, and on. Which do you choose? Verse 53. Who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it? You got the word of God sent by God's own angel to bring that word forth through those prophets you murdered, and rather than receiving it, you killed them. And then when God sent his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ, you murdered him also. Stiff-necked, I guess. It sounds hard, but to me it's mild compared to what should have been said to them. 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, naturally. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. I mean, they're like raving heathen. You know, you will never find a better description of God's word. You'll never hear a sermon that summarizes the very word of God, his children, how they progress down through the years. And they're angry about it. Because he lets them know what they've done. And they turn into raving hyenas. 55. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven. And he saw the glory of God. And Jesus standing on the right hand of God. God opened that screen, that veil. And let him say, my good boy, I'm with you. You're telling it like it is. I'm standing with you. You think that didn't give Stephen heart? 56. And said, behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Now that will light their wick. Because many of those Kenites that were Sadducees didn't believe in life after death. And he said, I see Christ whom you murdered. He's not dead. He's standing at the right hand of God. 57. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. I mean, they just surrounded him and they're going mad. They are mad. 58, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Saul means desired. His name later will be changed to Paul, which is small. It means little or small. Small Paul, who he was. And he always considered himself small, because of how he had persecuted the church. I mean, this one who will write a great deal of the New Testament is not casting any stones at Stephen, but he's holding with consent the clothes of those that are stoning Stephen to death. Paul is. And yet at the same time, not many chapters hence, God's going to strike this boy down on the road. He's zealous. He feels by the old law he's doing what he should, that this new information is not true. But at least Paul didn't cast any of the stones. That I want to make clear. But here was Paul, whom God would use mightily before all was said and done. Verse 59, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He knew from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 6 and 7, instantly your spirit, which is the intellect of your soul, goes to the Heavenly Father, meaning your soul. He was on his way. God had opened heaven so he could see him, and he was about to make that. But watch what he said in the next verse. Listen carefully. Verse 60. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. One of the greatest summaries of God's works up to the point of Jesus Christ, spoken by this one chosen, Stephen. And the truth with the crimination coming forth from his mouth to the Kenites, not sparing anything. And yet at the same time, I want you to see that the presence of God was there. And though he had given this message, I'm sure he was hopeful that some would take effect. It would take effect sooner or later upon that one called Saul, which is to say Paul, as you will find in the 9th chapter as we continue on into the 8th in the next lecture. Don't miss it. All right, bless your hearts. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, Behold, I have foretold you all things. Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves, you got a question, you share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular reverend or denomination. We're not going to judge people. Father is the judge, and he has not asked our help in that. But he does expect you to discern who you should fellowship with, who, and so forth. But don't judge. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you, and your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Got a prayer request? You don't need the number. We can do away with that. And the address. Why? God's a heart knower. Cardio knower in the Greek. He knows what you're thinking even. You do not have to say it out loud. He created you in such a way that he can communicate with you at any time when you communicate with him and share that love. You know, he created you different than anyone else. Your DNA is different. Your fingerprints are different. You're unique. He wanted someone just like you, but he does want you to love him. He loves you. He may not love what you do, but you're his child. He wants your love. That's what he wants. Let him know you love him and be blessed. Won't you do that? And let's go to his throne. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for the privilege of being allowed to serve you, Father. And we ask that you, around the world, that you lead, guide, direct, Father, touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, and question time. We're going to go with James from South Carolina. When Satan gets thrown out of heaven, will he come here as a child and grow up here, or be an adult and lie when he came where he came from? We know that he imitates Jesus Christ as much as he can. He's his own person. He is cast from heaven whole. And not just his spirit. His spirit can traverse the earth today. It is only his body that can't depart heaven. His evil spirit can talk to you if you listen to it. But when Michael cast him from heaven, he comes de facto. He is one beautiful entity. Make sure he didn't deceive you. He looks exactly like most people think Christ looks. That's a deceiver within itself. Laverne from Oklahoma. What is the spelling of the spurious Messiah? Is it English, Hebrew, or Greek? It is English. It is S-P-U-R-I-O-U-S. It means illegitimate, an illegitimate being, a fake, an imitator, and that's exactly what Christ is. S-P-U-R-I-O-U-S. Spurious. And it is English. Bill from Kentucky. Thank you for you're so welcome. And I'm glad that you love the Lord that way. Where does it say heaven will be here on earth? I watch your program often. Heaven is stated to be here on earth when you read Revelation chapter 21, where it stipulates that God will put his eternal kingdom right here on earth. As a matter of fact, Jerusalem is his favorite spot in the world. That's not a new thing in the great book of Revelation. You can read in Ezekiel chapter 16 where God made a covenant with that geographical location. And he will never break it. And so it is. Glenda from Virginia, what is the kingdom of God? Well, what you define that by breaking back the word kingdom. What is kingdom? Well, naturally, it is a king, and it is his dominion. Inasmuch as God created heavens and earth, the universe, then King of Kings and Lord of Lords, everywhere is his dominion. Therefore, his dominion is wherever he wishes it to be. I am that I am. It is all his kingdom. All in all. Joseph from New Jersey. I have a son that is at Marine boot camp, Paris Island, South Carolina. I know you are a Marine. Do you have any suggestions or scriptures that I can send to him? Psalms 144, verses 1 and 2. Let me repeat that for you. You send him Psalms 144, verses 1 and 2. You tell him I said simplify. Okay. And Margaret from Washington, thank you for your many hours. You're so welcome. It starts my day. I would like to ask a question about the Kenites. Is being a Kenite a genetic thing? Yeah, it's a race. The word Kenite in the Hebrew tongue, it's a Hebrew word, which is simply transliterated into English with its spelling. But the definition, being fully translated, is children of Cain. Okay, so they are a race of people. Can Kenites be saved? Well, what does John 3:16 say? Whomsoever will. If a Kenite, which is the child of Satan, believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, they become a child of God. And I don't have any problem with that at all. That's why we teach the scriptures, to even convert the Kenite if they so choose to be converted, if they believe, not make believe. Bernice from Utah, what will the people be doing through going? Let me read this again. What will the people be going through who have already passed on. Will there be hard times in heaven? Not if you deserve. First of all, heaven is paradise at this time. Jesus explained it very clearly in Luke chapter 16, where he described two men. One was heaven bound and the other was hell bound if he didn't change his ways. And they were both taken to paradise to be judged. Okay. And in the middle of paradise is a gulf that cannot be crossed. If you don't make it, you're stuck over there till the millennium. And a lot of people make it hell because they can look across and see God, the throne of God. They can see the apostles. They can see the Lord Jesus Christ. And they can't touch them. Can't go there. Can't better themselves during that period that they're in paradise. Cannot better themselves. They have to wait until the millennium. So they sit there and stew. And that's hell for them, all right. There's a lot of things they would like to have done different, and it's too late, Charlie. Maybe in the millennium they'll be softened up to the point that they'll love one what they're seeing on the other side of that gulf. Luke 16, Lazarus and the rich man, cover it. Stanley from California. Pastor Murray, I ask your help in resolving a conflict I have when speaking to our Father, Yahweh. Whether it be in prayer or doing my daily talk through everyday life, I've always felt we could only approach God through His only begotten Son, Jesus, the Christ. If this is true, does it mean I should never try to speak with Yeshua directly to thank Him for His sacrifice and His continuing love for fear of committing blasphemy? Please explain and document. You can, you know, you're free. And naturally, what did Jesus say? Jesus said in the book of Matthew, they asked Him, how do we pray? Which is talking to God. Well, He said, you say, our Father, which who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. His kingdom is coming to earth. That's what the prayer is. And but you always pray in Yeshua's name. That documents that you're a Christian. But there's nothing wrong with you talking to the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer and thanking Him for having paid that price for us. Father loves His children. Father likes to hear from His children. And you want to be very careful by utilizing the names Yahweh and Yeshua. What are you saying? When you say Yeshua, you're saying Yahweh's Savior. And we know that if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father, for it's one and the same. So you have to be very mature in understanding that the reason you pray to our Heavenly Father, but you ask in the name of Jesus Christ to give credentials to the fact that you believe that one that came was Emmanuel, which is to say God with us. A word to the wise is sufficient. Eartha from Illinois. Where does the soul go when the body dies? That's real easy to answer because that's Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. The soul instantly, being the intellect, being the spirit thereof, meaning the soul, goes instantly to the Father that gave it. Well, you're His child. He wants you back home. And you go there in your spiritual body, not this flesh body. And this flesh body returns to dust, and there it stays. Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7. Nancy from Arkansas. How long is the judgment day? Is it 1,000 years long? No. The judgment day comes at the end of the 1,000-year reign. It's not. It's all in the book, so it's not going to take that long for our Heavenly Father to judge and send whomever, wherever. You yourself decide whether. It isn't God necessarily that decides whether you go to heaven or hell. You do. By that I mean you, quite frankly, by the way you live and the actions you do in studying and rightly dividing the Word of God, determine whether you go to heaven or whether you go to hell. It's your choice. And that's why you want to love Him and let Him know that you make that right choice. John from West Virginia. Thank you and your sons and staff for teaching. You're welcome. I have a question about Satan, or let's say would like your thoughts about my question. I know he's the false Christ. In the Companion Bible, it says Satan is transformed as an angel of light. He's a shining one and a glistening like with brightness. Am I wrong in thinking when he's put out of heaven and appears on earth, he might appear in color as an albino? And the answer is no. This is why I want you to have a strong concordance. Very, very important. Because there you can answer your own question. Look that word transformed up in the Greek dictionary as it is utilized in the scripture. And you find the word is not transformed, it's disguised. So now let's say it like it truly is. Don't marvel, because Satan will come disguised as an angel of light. But he's the angel of darkness to deceive. And he is beautiful. And certainly he will be beautiful to those that observe him and wish to listen to him. He is a great deceiver. But then keep going, because this is no marvel that he is disguised as an angel of light. Some of his ministers are too. They claim Christ sent them, but they don't teach this word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. And that, you wonder then, what kind of minister is that? Well, I don't know. You all you got to do is listen, and you can tell pretty quick. What is his main subject? Passing the hat? Telling about what happened downtown? Or the Word of God, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, whereby it builds you up and gives you character and makes a real man, woman, or child of God out of you? That's what you want to notice. Sherry from Arizona. What scripture in the Bible states, watchmen, watch? This is a saying that I bring forth from the acrostics of 11, and I'm not going there because that's a different subject for a different time. But 3:11 is 33, and in Ezekiel chapter 33, you find there the address to watchmen. God makes it very clear. He says, "Hey, I make you a watchman. You get up on that wall, spiritually speaking, and you watch what's happening in this world, and you, when you see the enemy coming, you warn the people. Therefore, watch, watchmen, watch. If you don't watch, God will require it of you." So, you'll find that out by reading that 33rd chapter of Ezekiel, about the first half of it. Fantastic. God expects us to warn the ones we love when you see that enemy coming. Janet from Tennessee, I have a question. If you don't understand the Bible, will you go to hell even though you believe in God? Absolutely not. My church believes you should wear a dress. I told them the Bible says come as you are. Well, you're doing about right. But now, first of all, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you don't understand all of the Bible, very, very few people can say they understand all of the Bible. And I would say if one did, he probably is stretching it a little bit. The Bible is pregnant, and we learn every day. Nobody knows everything. So don't you ever, as long God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever would believe on him, which you do, you're a believer, then you're heaven bound. I do teach, though, that if you're attending a church that they require a dress code, Either, you know, the important thing is that you share the Word of God, not how you look. Therefore, if it offends the brethren, then either wear a dress or don't go. Okay, don't go to a church that requires that if you choose not to. But as long as you're there, practice good decorum, pulpit decorum. That is to say, honor the pulpit. If that's what the church officials say, then be that as it may, or don't go. All right, it's like, if you go to a church and they pass around crackers and peanut butter, and you say, "Oh, man, I hate crackers and peanut butter," and you throw it on the carpet and grind it in with your foot, you don't do that. What good could you do God's house? So all those little frills that go with it, then, quite frankly, you are right in saying come as you are, because people use Deuteronomy to be the dress code, that a woman should never wear men's clothing. But you see, men wore skirts and dresses at the time Deuteronomy, the 20s, was written. And so a woman would be wrong in that case if she wore a dress. But that's not what it's talking about in the Hebrew. It's saying that a woman should never take the part of a man in a sexual act, or a man should never take the part of a woman in a sexual act. And so dressing is just utilized to bring that forth. Okay, this is Kurt, and I don't know where Kurt is from. And your question is, thank you, I see that you've got your tapes. I do have a question about the starting point of the sixth trump. Could this be the December 21st, 2012? A lot of people are talking about it. Well, let them talk, but that's not what the Bible says, okay? You're going to hear much pressure about 2012 before it gets here. As a matter of fact, I mentioned it even today. It's strange that Saturn stays in the sign of Virgo, Virgin, until that particular time. But the thing is, we're watchmen, you keep watching. Shirley from Arkansas, do you get forgetful in old age, or is it a disease? Well, there are many things that can cause forgetfulness, a hardening of the arteries, and age will do that also. Why? Because many times you haven't seen people in years, and you're going to forget their names. That's kind of normal to forget somewhat. But the mind also is a wonderful thing. Just like you need to exercise that finger like that, you know, you need to exercise that mind also by committing things to memory, by keeping the mind active, by taking proper your vitamins and what have you, and real clean food, and that memory hangs around pretty good. I thank our Father for having blessed me with a good memory concerning His scriptures. But when it comes to some things, I'm getting on up there where I can also forget if I haven't covered it in many years. It just slips away. So don't ever feel bad about it. But there are things, diseases, that can cause forgetfulness. But don't ever worry about it. All right. It's I know a lot of young people that can hardly tell you what their name is. Okay, so it's not necessarily something for age. Vicki from Illinois, do you need to pray out loud, or can you pray silent? Also, do you think we have a guardian angel? Matthew chapter 18, verse 10 will say that God's angel, if you happen to be one of the set aside ones, Zadok, that is to say God's elect, has the face of God at any time you're in trouble or need help. That's not a guardian angel, that is God Himself watching out for you. But Matthew 18:10, you'll enjoy. God is a heart knower. You can be silent and pray, or you can pray out loud. It is not necessary to pray out loud. If you are at work and you need help with something, you can pray silent, and he hears you. I have a work titled Heart Knower, I think, or Cardiac Knower. I forget which the title is, but look at the tape list if you wish to have it that way. Satan cannot read your mind. God can. Therefore, you can pray silently. Abe from Michigan. I have read in the Bible that God said, Jacob I have loved and Esau I have hated. This troubles me because I was taught that God loves all of his children. Does God hate me? Can he? God has feelings. God is natural, supernatural, more natural. He laughs. But there, why don't you find out why he hated Esau? You know, have you ever read what Esau did to him? Didn't care about God, sold God's birthright for a bowl of mush. But that happened also back in the first earth age, according to Acts 9. We'll get there. I'm out of time. That's why I'm shutting down here. Love you all because you enjoy studying God's Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Most of all, God loves you for it, makes his day. You make his, he's going to make yours. We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we have helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, you bless God. Again, he will always bless you. Most important, though, you listen to me. Listen good. You stay in his Word every day. In his word is a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, is the living word.
Hearing God's word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's word here on...